Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we want to pick up today where we left off yesterday, talking about the apostasy in the church and the false doctrines of men. An article by Dan Koenig, a friend of mine, and there's just a whole lot of things that we talked about yesterday, but we stopped. We kind of let off on talking about the Catholic Church and you know, what they kind of believed and that kind of thing, and we'll continue on there with some of the problems of the Catholic Church. Many of the church's traditions and practices are contrary now to what Scripture says, proving that this church is far from being infallible, actually, even though the Catholics say that their church is infallible. It'll never fall, never fail. Satan, with his wolves in sheep's clothing, has infiltrated the Catholic Church and corrupted it, folks. That's just sad but true. The Catholic Church has become like the corrupted Judaism that Jesus was condemning. It's largely a church of Pharisees and of blind ritual. And that's sad to say. I know a lot of Catholics, wonderful people. And they believe in Jesus, but they also, and we'll get into some of this, but there's just so many other things that they believe has to go along with it that they corrupt the teachings of what and who Jesus was. It's really, today it's a church of idolatry, roles, rote praying, traditions of men. To rid most of Christianity of apostasy in the church, we would first have to go to the root of the apostasy and purge out most of the doctrines that's infiltrated the Catholic Church, actually. Now, there's seven sacraments of the Catholics, and the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church are rituals for grace. The church believes that the ritual itself will dispense grace from God. In other words, if you do these things, you'll get more grace from God. And it appears that the church puts the cart before the horse here. No spiritual grace comes from ritual. None. Not heavenly grace anyway. Now, you might get some grace from somebody else, but it's not God. It's not the Lord. Not Jesus. No spiritual grace comes from rituals. But power from the Holy Spirit's given to those who listen to God and obey Him. That's the only way you're going to do anything. The sacrament of the baptism of infants is not scriptural, or actually it's not even logical. The ritual of baptisms for identifying believers with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Babies do not believe because they don't know how to believe yet. True baptism is dying with Christ and by faith being born into a new creation called the body of Christ. And babies, they're not capable of making that confession. They're not capable of knowing what Jesus has done for anybody. They're not there yet. You know, they're too young. Excuse me. Then you got the sacrament of the Eucharist. This says the sacrament of the Eucharist should be a memorial and remembrance of Christ's broken body and His shed blood for us. There's no place in Scripture that says we're to offer Christ's body on the altar daily, or that the bread and wine actually becomes the body of Christ. And by putting these elements in your stomach, you will receive Him into your body and get grace from Him. That just does not say in the Scriptures anything about it or like it. It's just not scriptural, folks. Then you got the sacrament of contrition and penance, which is contrary to Scripture. The Scriptures say that Jesus is the only intermediator, the only one, between God and man. The doctrine that you can have your sins forgiven by confession to a priest, who then intermediates and gives absolution if you do the penance he dictates, abolishes what Jesus did for us on the cross for all sin. And, you know, who is sinless enough to intermediate for us with God except Jesus? And which sin did Jesus not pay for? Now, there's no way in the Scriptures can you find anybody teaching you that you could go to a man and ask for forgiveness. The guy will tell you what you have to do. You go out and do your penance, which is, you know, the Hail Marys or whatever, and then he, the priest, will be your intermediary to God. It just doesn't work that way. We can pray to the Lord for anybody, but we have no ability, and we have no right to even think that we can forgive someone's sins. We just can't do it. Now, also, the church teaches that the sacrament of confirmation is where you get the power of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures, however, teach that you get the Holy Spirit when you believe, and you get power to do His will when you earnestly pray for it. It has nothing to do with going to church and, going through, any confirmation process. It's not how it works. Marriage is a union between two people. There's no reason given in the scripture for it to be a church sacrament or for the ceremony to be performed by a priest or the clergy. Not that the practice of getting married by the elder of any church is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. The ordination of, the ordination of special priesthood is actually contrary to New Testament scripture. The scripture teaches that all in Christ are kings and priests. But, the Catholic Church has a different ideal on it, and they also then can annul that marriage and make it right. No matter how long you've been married, for any reason, you can say you need an annulment, and you pretty much get one, and that's contrary to scripture. The sacrament of extreme unction indicates that the dying get some special grace by having a priest say some ritualistic prayers over them. That doesn't work either, unfortunately. It's not scriptural. It's a distortion of the true biblical practice of elders praying over the sick. And then you have also one of the biggest, to me, fallacies of the Catholic Church as far as what they believe, is the cult of Mary. A large section of that church, the Catholic Church, teaches that Mary is a co-redeemer and that she was without sin. The scripture says that there's no salvation in no other name except Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. That's the only one. The scriptures also say that all have sinned, including Mary. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of all born of women. Why did he not say his mother was, if she was without sin? When the natural mother of Jesus and his brothers, yes, Jesus had brothers according to scripture, thought he went crazy and wanted to talk to him, Jesus said his mother and brothers are those that do the will of his father. Mary is not the mother of God. She is a mother of the natural body that God incarnated, and that's all. Mary's not the mother of the church. She had to believe to be saved and had to receive the Holy Spirit and become a member of the body of Christ just like anybody else and everyone else. How can Mary be the mother of a membership that includes herself? That's silly. The idea that Mary is interceding for the Christians and appearing to many and giving statements to people that are often contrary to the scriptures actually is an insult to Mary. The bottom line of these apparitions, at the very least, is a message of salvation by works, which will save nobody. Furthermore, now listen. Many Catholics are now into witchcraft and things forbidden in the Bible because they believe in these lies. Much of what is being said by apparitions attributed to Mary parallels pagan New Age teachings and the doctrines of demons. Those into Mariology, they like to, they reduce the God of the universe to a child on Mary's knee. And that's sad. But he is a consuming fire and the only intermediator between God and man, so saith the scriptures. It's amazing what's happening. These apparitions where you have a statue of Mary that starts bleeding or crying and all these kind of things, and it's gotten completely out of hand is what it is. Then you got, saying the rosary with all its Hail Marys is rote prayer to someone other than God. That's for sure. It's idolatry. Jesus said to pray to the Father. If he wanted people to pray to his earthly mother, he would have said so. But furthermore, how in the world could anyone really believe that Mary would want to hear the same prayer over and over and over again? Do people think that she or they get power from their chanting? I don't get that. I really don't. But it's just like the witchcraft, and that's sad. But it is. Even common sense should tell you, and should tell them also, that no one wants to hear the same thing over and over again. I'm sure the real Mary of the Bible would tell people who chant these prayers to please quiet down, stop. And it's sad. You cannot pray to Mary for anything. You have to pray to the Father. Jesus made it as plain as day. You have to pray to the Father and in Jesus' name. You don't pray to Mary to do anything. Now, many times the real reasons for the rote prayer now is not even addressed in the prayer service. An example might be like when Catholics pray Hail Marys in front of the abortion clinics. Their ritualistic chanting leaves the body of Christ open to a bunch of ridicule, folks, and by the unbelievers. And actually, you know, all of this is just a counterfeit substitution for real prayer to God. And about the real situation, and we got to learn that. You know, everybody needs to pray, but you got to pray the way the Lord taught us, not over and over again on a street corner. Same thing. The Scripture tells us not to say rote prayers as the heathen do. That they think will be heard. You know, for their many words, it doesn't work that way. You know, God hears you. If you're praying to God, He heard you the first time. You don't have to over and over again say, God, listen to me. Now, I want this. God, listen to me. I need that. God, listen to me. I need that. God, listen to me. I need that. He heard you the first time. He's God, after all. You don't need to be reminded, 40 times in a row to make things right. That's where I think the big fallacy is with some of these people, especially Catholics that do the Hail Mary thing, If you're trying to talk to God, He hears you the first time you open your mouth. From an earthly standpoint, try saying the same thing 50 or more times to your mom and dad here on earth and see what kind of response you get, But actually the Queen of Heaven was worshipped in ancient Babylon. You realize that? She also had a child in her arms. Now, this was not Mary and Jesus, okay? In the Babylon days, they were demon gods. Mary and her baby Jesus came much after that. But it's very similar to what the Catholics are portraying Mary as being. God did not have anything good to say about the people who worshipped her. And that's a fact. Obviously, some Catholics have used the blessed name of Mary of Scripture to incorporate pagan Babylonian practices, and beliefs into the church, And then the Catholics have the doctrine of purgatory, which certainly is something I don't believe in. It's an insult to Jesus and the finished work that He did on the cross to pay for the sin of the world. If we sin, He's faithful to forgive us our sins if we confess them to Him. And Scripture says so. There's no going to purgatory and waiting for somebody to pray you out of it. It just doesn't work that way. It's kind of sad, but that's kind of what they believe, Jesus either paid for all the sins, past, present, and future, or He paid for none of them. And that's a fact. Scripture teaches no other doctrine but that. That's what the Lord made it very plain. So, it's really sad. The bottom line about Roman Catholicism is that it's mostly apostate, unfortunately. They pray to Mary when they shouldn't. They believe the priests are apostles who have the same power as the Lord does. And it's just a shame. And it's just a shame that it's become that. We're about out of time, so I want to tell you, we're going to finish this up hopefully tomorrow. I'll talk about Protestants and Assembly of Gods, Pentecostals, that kind of thing. Not really Assembly of God. I should have just said Pentecostals and different ones. But we'll finish it up tomorrow, hopefully. And I hope you're learning from it. But join us tomorrow. Let's finish it on out if we can. And God bless each one of you. And touch base with us. Give us an email. Let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about. We would love to address anything that's on your mind. So don't forget to email us at fwm@adams.net, fwm@adams.net. God bless you. See you in the morning.